Hello, and welcome to the Welligant Woman Podcast, a place for women over 40 who are ready to transform midlife, reimagine what's possible, and make each new decade better than the last. I'm your host, Karen Viesta, certified health and life coach. And after going through my own midlife reinvention, I can honestly say that I now experience more energy, vitality, confidence, and joy than I ever have before. Each week, I'll be sharing information, inspiration, and strategies to help you do the same. Let's get started. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. This week's podcast is the 10th episode. I am so excited about that. I realize this may not sound like such a big milestone, but for a beginner podcaster, that's a big deal. It's 10 ideas and outlines and recordings and editing and uploading and all kinds of stuff. So there was a steep learning curve. I have really enjoyed it. I feel so proud of all of it, myself and the podcast. And although it's been a lot of work, it's really been a labor of love. I love putting these podcasts out every week, and I especially love the fact that they are reaching and helping so many women. It's a great honor to do that. So thank you so much for tuning in, and please continue to like and share and subscribe so that we can continue to build this vibrant community of women. So for my 10th episode, I decided to do something a little bit different and to share with you 10 books that have really influenced my experience of midlife. I didn't necessarily read all of these books in midlife, but all 10 of them, I would say, have directly impacted who I am as a woman and how I view midlife and kind of my own experience of this transition. I believe that all of them are very relevant to women in their 40s and 50s and beyond. And some of them, maybe not all of them, but certainly some of them, are just as relevant for younger women because, let's face it, all of us are moving through life in this female body and we're all having a uniquely female experience. So I do believe that the information and the tools offered in some of these books can benefit younger women as well. Just a side note, don't worry about jotting these titles down or taking any notes. I've created a list for you. I call the note sheets, which accompany some of these podcast episodes, cheat sheets. And so you can access it by going to welligantwoman.com/10. That's 10. It contains the titles and authors and even the Amazon links for all of the books that I'll be discussing. So if you go to welligantwoman.com/10, if you give me your email, I will get that right out to you. As you're going to see, some of these books are health-related. Some of them are related to money, to relationships, time management, energy. One of them is just a fascinating story of one woman's experience in her 50s. And they really cover a very wide range. But what I can honestly tell you is that every one of these books is one that I return to again and again, and that has truly shaped my life in my 40s and 50s, and I expect my life even beyond that. And I love books for that reason. They stretch us and grow us and really provide us with tools and strategies that we can bring into our lives. And I believe that the ultimate goal of all of it is to simply be the truest and best version of ourselves at every single stage of our lives. And that's why it's really important to be someone who's committed to lifelong learning. I think wanting to learn throughout your life is really one of the keys to living well and to living our healthiest life. I hope that I never reach a point when I feel like I know it all and I stop wanting to learn and grow. In my opinion, that is the swiftest, steadiest path to decline. I am deeply committed to my own development as a woman and just as a human being. And these books are ones that have really moved the needle for me. So, without delay, here are 10 books that have influenced my experience of midlife. The first one is called Dance of the Dissident Daughter, and it's by a writer, Sue Monk Kidd. You may have heard of her because she wrote years ago a novel, a very popular novel called The Secret Life of Bees. It's actually one of my favorite novels. I cannot say enough good things about it. It's a story that will absolutely crack your heart open in the best of ways. The writing and the language are gorgeous. And as far as I'm concerned, it should be recommended reading for anyone who is a mother or a daughter, which pretty much means that I think every woman should read it. I would not say that it influenced my experience of midlife specifically, so that's why I'm not putting that one on the list. But the book I'm putting on the list is a memoir written by the same author, Sue Monk Kidd, in which she shares the story of her own awakening and transformation. And I'm going to read you a bit from the back cover because it's stated so beautifully. From a jarring encounter with sexism in a suburban drugstore to monastery retreats and rituals in the caves of Crete, Kidd takes readers through the fear, anger, healing, and transformation of her awakening and provides inspiring wisdom for all who struggle to embrace their full humanity. I read this book for the first time in my early 40s, and I've probably read it three or four times since then. And it's just one of those books that every single time I read it, I catch something new and different. You know, I have like different little insights and bits of wisdom that I grab from each reading. And I think really, really good books, you know, do that for you. You can read them at different stages of your life and just find different things in them. So that's one that I highly recommend. It's just a really engaging story. Number two is a book called Goddesses Never Age, The Secret Prescription for Radiance, Vitality, and Well-Being. And it's by Christian Northrup, who you've very likely heard of. She was one of the first female physicians to operate a gynecological practice that treated only women in midlife. And she has written many, many books. I actually have two of them on this list. This book, Goddesses Never Age, covers everything from the causes of true health and disease or dis-ease, as she says, to the healing power of the body, to pleasure in the form of food, movement, sex, sensuality, how to process grief and anger. It's just kind of a Bible on how to move through all of the physical and emotional changes of this time to create physical and emotional wellness. The other book of hers that I absolutely love is number three, and that one is called The Wisdom of Menopause. You want to talk about a Bible. This book is about 2.5 inches thick. It's a really big book that is pretty much an encyclopedia of menopause. Like so many of her books, it was a New York Times bestseller, a number one New York Times bestseller, and it put forth at the time a dramatically different version of midlife. Again, I'll read you a little bit of the blurb on the back cover. As Dr. Northrup has championed, the change, quote unquote, is not simply a collection of physical symptoms to be fixed, but a mind-body revolution that brings the greatest opportunity for growth since adolescence. The choices a woman makes now, from the quality of her relationships to the quality of her diet, have the power to secure vibrant health and well-being for the rest of her life. Among many other things, Dr. Northrup covers things like mammogram guidelines, strategies to combat bone loss, ways to ensure pelvic health. It's got a lot of science in there as well. I don't know if I have ever read it from beginning to end. I don't think I ever have. But I've definitely read all of the different sections as I needed the information. So it's just that kind of book. It's almost a manual, a reference book that you would keep on your bookshelf and kind of pull out from time to time when you needed certain bits of information. Number four is a book called Energy Medicine for Women, and it's by Donna Eden. Donna Eden and her husband, who's a physician, wrote a book called Energy Medicine. And that first book wasn't written for women in particular. It was, you know, principles that anybody, that could apply to anybody. And she, in that book, she kind of walked readers through the energetic system that the body is, you know, the various energy centers and how they work and how to work with them to create health and healing within the body. It was wildly successful. In fact, she and her husband ran workshops teaching these techniques for many years. Maybe they still do. I don't know. But at any rate, she had so many women reaching out and asking her about energetic practices as it applied to the female body that she ended up writing a follow-up book called Energy Medicine for Women. It contains many of the same principles as the first book, but she's taken it one step further to offer exercises and practices to support, you know, specifically the female body at all these different stages of the reproductive years. So if you've ever explored energy medicine, or even if you never have, it's a fascinating area that is really growing as more and more research is being done and as it's being studied over time. Number five is a book called A Happy Pocket Full of Money, Infinite Wealth and Abundance in the Here and Now. It's written by David Cameron Jikandi. And despite the title, the book is not only about money. According to Jikandi, true wealth is about discovering value within yourself and value within other people. It's about a kind of conscious living that incorporates gratitude, a belief in abundance, and the experience of joy. So this is really about creating an abundant life, not just in terms of financial abundance, but in terms of health and relationships, work, a sense of purpose, knowledge, joy. You know, it's abundance in a much broader definition. It was recommended to me by another coach, and I just devoured it. It's a pretty quick read, but it just made so much sense to me that in order to experience abundance in all these different areas, we have to build a wealth consciousness. You know, we have to build a consciousness to support and invite all of those things. So that means we have to work on feeling worthy and valuable and deserving and generous. And so many of us were brought up to believe in lack and scarcity. So many of us, you know, think that the name of the game is competition and limitation, right? So this book really teaches how to reprogram our minds for abundance. I loved it. Number six is a book called You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero, which is a really fun and irreverent spin on the principles of the law of attraction. So I don't know if you're familiar with the law of attraction. There are certainly, you know, many, many books on that. But she happens to just be a really funny voice, and she shares some great personal stories. So I find that she just made a lot of the principles of the law of attraction very engaging and very accessible. She is not a woman in midlife, but like A Happy Pocket Full of Money, I think these are books that shine a light on areas where we can shift our beliefs and just create a more empowering mindset. So I would say for me, you know, those mindset shifts really served me well and continue to serve me well in midlife. Number seven is The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, A Counterintuitive Approach to Living a Good Life by Mark Manson. This is so funny because I read this one on a plane. I was going on a trip. It was following a breakup. And I think this book was absolutely the best medicine. Apart from the fact that I love the title, he has a great no-nonsense style that really makes you think. I love his line, and I've quoted it many times. There are only so many things we can give a fuck about, so we need to figure out which ones really matter. When you kind of consider things in this way, it really changes how you invest your energy, or at least it did for me. I started to think in terms of like, okay, I've got a limited number of fucks to give today. And I know this is such a crude way to put it, but I think it's just a brilliant way to sort of quantify it. And then knowing that, I could say, is this something I want to invest in? And if so, exactly how many fucks do I want to give? You know, it's really energy management. It's really learning to invest energy more consciously and more deliberately, and knowing which things don't deserve such an investment of energy versus which things do. And along those lines, book number 8 is a book called Essentialism, The Disciplined Pursuit of Less by Greg McKeown. Now, in this book, it is also about energy management, but this one really gets more deeply into time management and the fact that the more focused we are, you know, the less distraction we have, the less we multitask, and the more we can simplify our lives, the more effective we'll be. There are some really great graphics in addition to the text, and it's just another really thought-provoking read. I love it when I can read a book that encourages me to kind of put myself and my life under the microscope so that I can find little ways to become better and more effective and you know, just more peaceful and joyful. And this is definitely, you know, another one of those books. Number 9 is Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself by Dr. Joe Dispenza. I was first turned on to Dr. Joe Dispenza when I heard him speak on a documentary series. I believe it was on Gaia, and I believe it was called Supernatural, although don't quote me on that. Whatever it was, I was riveted. He was so smart and so engaging that I immediately went out and I grabbed some of his books. All of the ones that I've read have been great, but this one, in my opinion, is his best, at least of the ones that I read. And essentially what he does is he teaches readers how to make measurable changes in any area of life. And he does it by kind of demystifying ancient understandings and explaining this kind of the science and spirituality behind change and manifestation. He claims that our personality is nothing more than a series of habits, and that in order to overcome our limitations or even heal our bodies, it's really a process of breaking certain habits and training ourselves to almost become another version of ourselves. It can be really heady stuff, but I just find it really fascinating. And, you know, you'll often hear me talk about reframing midlife, deciding how you want your future to look and feel, deciding who you want to be. And this idea of retraining and recreating our personalities and our belief system is a very practical way to do that. So, you know, these practices can really be applied well toward that. And then finally, the last book is called How to Choose a Partner by Susan Killiam. When I first got divorced, I knew that I wasn't ready to start dating right away. I had been married for 24 years, and in the months right after the split, I just felt pretty drained, and I knew that I had some work to do on myself before I would be, you know, sort of emotionally healthy enough to start dating. You know, even when you are the one who wants the split, it's a grieving process. So I gave myself some time to move through that, a year in fact, to build myself back up and to kind of find a new normal. And in that time, I really thought long and hard about what I wanted in a partner going forward. I knew that I didn't want to make some of the same mistakes that I made. I wanted to have, you know, better boundaries, and I just wanted to become really clear before I started dating about exactly the kind of man and the kind of relationship that I wanted and needed. And this book, you know, in the way a lot of books do, kind of came across my radar at just the perfect time. You know, it was like it just somehow I heard the title, I just became aware of it. And I thought this could really be useful. So I read it, and I thought at that time it was perfect. It was the perfect sort of roadmap to help me process and kind of make sense of my breakup and how to really just consider things I had never thought about. She talks about things like what they call attachment styles. She talks about conflict resolution and how to determine, you know, what I value most in life and in a partner, and how to gain a better understanding of what another person, you know, values and is looking for, another person's morals and what makes them tick, and, you know, kind of how they deal with things. All things that are potential landmines in a relationship, but that few people really think about in the early stages of a relationship. And that book really helped me as I started dating again. No, I did not do everything perfectly. I mean, even with the help of the book, you know, I certainly kissed a few frogs on my way to my prince. But I do firmly believe that the relationship that I'm in now with a man who is everything I could possibly want and then some is the result of me having that kind of clarity about what I wanted and needed. So this book is really one that I would definitely recommend if you're single and dating. And if, like me, you're in midlife and you're kind of re-entering the dating world, and particularly if you're navigating online dating, I think this is a really great place to begin that process. And I do think it was very helpful for me. So there you have it. As I said, you can go to wellegantwoman.com/10 to download the cheat sheet that contains all of these titles and authors and the Amazon links in case you would like to order any of these books. Happy reading. I hope that you enjoyed this episode, and I wish you a beautiful week. I will see you next time. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Wellegant Woman podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please don't forget to subscribe, and I'd love it if you would leave a 5-star review and share it with others. Thanks again for tuning in, and I'll catch you in the next episode.